But what about even before high school? Where did you go to school? Where did you start school?
I started to school at the plantation. In those years, we started school when we were seven. And see, I was seven in February. And my mother and father sent me to my grandparents. My grandfather joined my father, his foreman, but he didn't last for 2 years there. And then they moved to East Texas, Saratoga. And that summer, they sent me to there to stay with them so I would talk nothing but English. I talked both. But you see, in January and February, we had the engineers come from New Orleans to refine the sugar, and they were French. And I was just as tow-headed as I could be, and I just rattled the Spanish, you know. And my mother would say, "Annie, do you want some potatoes?" And I'd say, "Si, si, quiero papas," and they'd pass me a nickel. So I could talk both of them, but I didn't want to. And so that same night, we were having company, and my father told me that I could go in the parlor. We had a parlor there, and I'd like to show you the house sometime. And so I could go in and sit a while in there. And I was already seven. And I went to take my little Mexican girlfriends. I had nothing but Mexican children. See, my mother lost two children between my brother and I. There's almost 6 years difference between us. And so I was alone there with most of the children, all Latin. And this one little girl that we were very chummy with, we would be out the horse lot, and the men would come in with the mules and things. And she said, "Now those words that they're using on those mules, you just must not learn them," she'd tell me in Spanish. "You just don't pay attention to what they're doing." Well, I said, "What do they call them like that for, you know?" Well, that night that my daddy said I could join them, well, that happened several weeks before. And I went to take a rocket through the door, and it stuck. So I cussed a blue streak in Spanish, and I ran out and it started over again, you know. And before I could do anything, my mother, he picked me up, and I tell you, he wore out my rear end, like everything, and took me in and threw me on the bed, you know. And of course, I sobbed and cried, and mother closed the door, and I finally went off to sleep. And the next morning, I wakened, and there were 2 50-cent pieces under my pillow. Those two men had given me. And I remember one old man, Gumwall, he was French. We had this big old goblet, you know, in those days, on a stem. And the last thing he did every night, we had a grits mill, is to put a bunch of hot grits in there and some butter and pour molasses in. That was his dessert. And you see, the first thing, as a matter of fact, the first thing that produced down that sugar were the peloncillos. That's these cone-shaped, round cone-shaped things that you see in Reynosa. It's a cone-shaped thing, and brown
hollow?
Sugar.
Is it hollow in the center?
No, it's solid. And they call them peloncillos. And they had to be put out. You see, the grinding season then was January and February. And they'd be put out in the sun to dry. And sometimes if the weather was too hot, they'd melt. And they never could ship them. They were just a local sale. So my uncle, of course, went after the second year and bought first-class equipment to set up a regular mill. And one of the boilers was brought to Point Isabel by steamer, and then brought overland to Hidalgo. And the other one was brought to Laredo by rail and plugged up and floated down the river, you see, to be set up at the plantation. And then they started in on the regular refined sugar. In syrup, we had both sugar cane and sorghum. As far as you can see, 2,000 acres of land farmed, you know. And of course, in those days, they had a cheap labor, 25 cents Mexican a day, from sun up to sundown. And they cut the cane with the machetes, you know. And my particular autobiography that I'm working on is going to be the abundant years, not in money, but in wildlife and vegetation. It was virgin soil, anything would grow. And it was just the happiest childhood you could imagine.